It's Marketplace Tech for November 30th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. If you are a retailer, you're trying pretty hard to get your goods in front of Cyber Monday shoppers today. Increasingly, companies are focusing on apps where they can offer users deals and an easier or more direct shopping experience. Julie Osk at Forrester has been studying these trends.
Companies have to have both websites and apps, right? Websites are table stakes for things like search, for example, for customers that are in the discovery mode. But once a customer becomes loyal to a brand, has done business with a brand in the past, that customer is a lot more likely to discover and download that app and use the app because overall it's going to be a much better experience.
Are other companies experimenting with this, like WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger or anything like that, these sort of larger apps that people are using for communication? And are retailers trying to get into those spaces as well?
Retailers have to. When we look at all of the what we call the mobile moments or minutes that consumers have on a mobile device, retailers only own about 5% of those minutes today, whereas instant messaging and social media together probably own closer to 20 to 25% of all of those minutes. And so when retailers are thinking about a strategy to go out and engage consumers, they have to think about how are they going to go out and engage their customers where they already are, which is on places like WhatsApp and WeChat and Facebook Messenger.
How will this, do you think, long-term, or at least over the next few years, change the way that the end user does their shopping?
So that will change. Today, the end user downloads a collection of apps. So I download retailer apps, I download shopping apps, and then there's a bunch of apps like, you know, Google Maps and WeChat and Facebook Messenger that I already use. As we look forward, consumers are going to have this expectation that one entity, and it may be a Google, and it may be a Facebook, it may be an Apple or an Amazon, are going to use their contacts to pull together the set of content and services that I need in one streamlined task flow.
Julie Osk at Forrester. Julie, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Sticking with Cyber Monday for a minute, while people shop online, they're targeting deals, and hackers perhaps are targeting them and the companies they're going to for goods. Alex Polvy is CEO at the company CoreOS.
I think more and more the web is becoming an economic target kind of across the board, but this is an exaggerated day for sure.
If you're an online shopper, rules of thumb are usually don't click something you don't trust. Make sure the address of the website you're on or going to doesn't look strange or misspelled. And watch out for things too good to be true. That last one, tougher today, of course. What can companies do to avoid attacks? Polvy again.
The biggest thing that companies can do, by and large, is update their software. That is by far what most compromises originate from. Is an out-of-date version of, you know, of something like OpenSSL, which became pretty famous around the vulnerability Heartbleed earlier this year, or even in their own applications. And unfortunately, most people treat their infrastructure such that once it's running, you don't want to touch it, especially heading into Cyber Monday when there's so much on the line that if you change something, you might break something.
Alex Polvy at CoreOS. A new book out this week takes an optimistic look at the impact of the gig economy, the sharing economy, the on-demand economy, whatever you might call it these days. The book is called WeCommerce, How to Create, Collaborate, and Succeed in the Sharing Economy. The author is Billy Howard. Hi, Billy.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm well. Can you talk a little bit about how the sharing economy has evolved even in the past few years and how you explore that in the book?
Sure. Today, the sharing economy has tentacles into almost every part of society. And what I mean by that is it's not just startups like Uber and Airbnb. I mean, you have traditional companies getting into the game as well. You know, that's what I think was one of the most exciting developments as of late. You're also seeing the luxury market begin to look at the sharing economy with offerings like Blade, where you can share helicopters. You know, a trader just recently launched a Michelin star delivery service in London called Supper.
Well, how should we feel about this reality? Because, you know, you look at the luxury end of this, and then you also have all these other fears that are happening at the same time about how automation is going to steal jobs from workers and play a part in this big transfer of wealth.
No, I understand your question, but I really believe that those luxury offerings are democratizing luxury. They're making those type of once unattainable services available to more of the masses. Anyone, anywhere in the world can have an idea and bring it to bear through the power of technology. So we're really living in this flattened society where innovation and disruptive thinking can come from anywhere in the world. And as a result of that, we're having and experiencing the first ever global middle class.
So you're not skeptical at all. You're not afraid at all about what the impact of this might be when more and more people become contract workers, et cetera, et cetera.
No, I'm not. I mean, do I think that regulation needs to keep pace with innovation and we're not there yet because regulation always trails behind innovation? Sure. Anything has potential downsides, but I think that the upsides of this movement far outweigh the bad.
Billy Howard is the author of the book WeCommerce, How to Create, Collaborate, and Succeed in the Sharing Economy. Billy, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
More from us, as always, at MarketplaceTech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.